And oh my gosh. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, wherever you are tuning in from in the world. Welcome to the one, the only Rum Boys Fantasy Sports Network. Dealt with some technical difficulties there on the opening. I did not realize that our audio speaker was not charged. That's my fault there. But all's well and ends well is okay. Thank you guys for joining us here on the Rum Report, episode 25 of season 2. We're going to keep this ship here rolling and rocking. As always, it is your host, your boy, Rum Boys Robbie, a.k.a. the Admiral, and joined by the amazing, the wonderful Rum Boys Combat. Jake, what is going on, bro?
Nothing much, man. Take a little break from work till tonight and have some time to stream. So I'm down whenever, and I'm about to have a good stream.
Hell yeah, we definitely are. As always, we got to kick this thing off the way that we always do before diving in to today's topics. We have some interesting things to talk about. Sports are coming back. The world is opening back up. It's like everyone just up and forgot about coronavirus, to be honest. Big shout out to Texas and Arizona. You guys out there partying and clubbing it up over the weekend. Everyone out there at the Ozarks of, what is it, Missouri, right? Yeah, those are in Missouri. I got that right. I passed geography. Either way, cheers to me. Cheers to you. And all the Rum Boys and Girls want to do. Dilly dilly.
I had a nice ring on that, too, when I hit the camera that time.
Yeah, I was like, damn, pristine.
That was consistent. I wish we could do that every time. We got to find the right spot there.
Yeah, like you have like a bell up there all of a sudden now. So, yeah.
I mean, I'll figure it out. I'll test it afterwards.
Let's go ahead and dive in. First off, man, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I worked most of it from home. I mean, so we had a little. We obviously I saw my family for a little bit, but I mean, mostly it's not like we can take the niece and nephew to the playground or go anywhere. And it's not you can't have a picnic with a bunch of kids gathered around.
So am I underneath the impression that you are not out there boozing and smoozing with the rest of the world out at these bars and clubs right now?
Well, I can't because Ohio's and PA are like outdoor seating only. So bars aren't even open yet.
So our bars open up in 2 days.
And ours was the 21st, but they pulled that back. Retail's open though, so that's good.
I almost fought a guy in a Marshalls the other Friday, or no, Wednesday. Hey, he's like, line's back here, bub. And I was like, I'll put my foot up your ass, bub. I was like,
I'm just glad retail's open. That's the thing that'll give many people their jobs back. Just allowing people to actually work at whatever store that isn't Walmart will bring a lot of people back to work pretty quick. So that's a positive.
Economy. This is definitely economical driven. Speaking of, let's get into some sports. The sports world is opening back up, ladies and gentlemen. New Jersey announcing they're going to be opening back up. Kumho announcing, Nort, they're going to be allowing professional sports to open back up. So we got some good news. Here at the top of the hour, audio just surfaced of Michael Jordan stating that he did not want Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. Now, this is after in the Last Dance documentary, he had stated that he had said nothing of the sort. It was decisions made by higher powers that be. Does this now sway your outlook on Jordan? Does this make him appear in a bad light now?
I think I always thought he was lying, to be honest. And I don't think he's the only one that didn't want him on the Dream Team. No one liked the Bad Boy Pistons.
Yeah.
So, I think he's the one that said it. But I think it was agreed upon. Nobody wanted Isaiah on that team. And I don't think Jordan lying changes anything. He was a petty athlete who, like many, did not want the person that he liked least on his team. And they hardly liked Daly on that team, I'm sure, because he coached a way that was beating these guys up in an era that was way past, I think, way past its due. So, yeah, I think he said it. I think he didn't like him. I don't think anyone liked Isaiah or anyone on the Pistons, including the coach. I mean, I think I don't think it affects my opinion on him. I mean, I think people knew forever Jordan made up things people said about him to motivate himself, and a lot of athletes do it. They try to make things up in their head to anger them, and Jordan is no different, and I don't think it changed my opinion on Jordan at all, no.
I feel like, personally, so this does not sway my opinion of Jordan at all. In the audio, I believe that it was that a piece of the information that was released that don't worry, Charles, or don't worry, Chuck doesn't want him here either, and you know how he is.
Nobody wanted him on that team.
Nobody wanted him on the 92 Dream Team. We have to look at, and what I want us to do as reporters here is kind of peel back the treat, not to have a Shrek reference here, but treat this.
I know where we're going. We're going with this.
We got to peel back the layers like an onion. Ogres have layers, okay? And what I mean by that is, guys, you got to remember, and why this is such a big story and a prevalent story now with this audio coming out, is back then you could conceal a conversation. If me and Jake have a conversation, you know, back in the 90s, back in the 80s, that's not coming out because it's just between two guys, you know. Nowadays with social media and things of that nature, it's things like this are a much bigger deal. When you look at that 92 Dream Team, that was all the all-stars of the all-stars back then. I think that this audio comes out now shows just how much that style of basketball was not liked. And a lot of us, we talk about how we missed that era of basketball. But I think that that style that was played, especially by that Detroit Pistons team, I think rubbed a lot of
80s. By the 90s, the NBA was considerably more finesse. ISO. They promoted scoring by giving the players a very easy time in ISO ball. You can't double to a dribble the ball. You can't play zone. It was to get the offensive numbers up. And yep. I think people, when they see Jordan's rules were tougher, comparatively to today, yes, they were, but not much tougher in terms of physicality. The physical era of basketball was before Jordan 1 in the late 80s and before that.
Yeah.
So that era of basketball was on its way out, and overall, I don't think any player wanted to play in it anymore, especially those guys that kind of came up in that era, losing to Magic and Bird. And especially, you have the coach that promoted it, I don't think anybody wanted to have a player who was part of that culture on that team.
Really quick, to our homie in the chat, he said he's getting a Thunder t-shirt. Let me go ahead and get you a Fanatics link. Let me get you today's promo code. This week's promo code, so we can get you a discount on that Thunder shirt with our partnership with Fanatics.com. I'm gonna drop that link for you in the chat, brother. I apologize, Jake. I just want to make sure we got him situated. What's good, Nick Howard, Connor Burke? New article on runboys.com by Connor Burke, breaking down the Cleveland Browns. He hooked you guys up. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you need to go check out that article. You need to go check that out.
I will.
Hell yeah. Continue what you were saying, or are you ready for the next topic, my man?
Well, I was going to close out with that era of basketball was gone. Jordan, when he started winning, and when he first beat Magic, the game became no zone, very almost fancy ISO ball, highlight plays, a lot more scoring. They even moved the three-point line at one point to raise scoring.
Yep.
So they did not want to bring the brand of basketball that Isaiah and the Pistons brought to the world. If they were going to promote basketball worldwide, they did not want to have that type of culture around it. So I understand all those players saying, no, this dude was on a team that played basketball archaically. We don't want this.
I mean, imagine trying to market that style of play over to the Europeans. You know, I don't see that marketing playing out, especially with the way that, you know, we watch old Kukoc tape, and we see that clearly over in Europe. This game is think of it like a symphony, if you will, with the way that the ball is moved around and played. You know, it's like strings here. All right, now cellos, and everything just like flows together, and it's beautiful.
I don't had think a 17, a 14, and a 13-point score in your starting lineup. That was what you expected. And, it was a different era, and I don't think having the Bad Boys Pistons type of basketball would have helped anything. I mean, remember I'll finish up the topic after this. Remember Barkley actually punched a dude and choked out a player on another team early in the trials?
Yeah.
Yeah, that almost canceled the Olympics for the U.S. They were almost kicked out of the tournament for it because it was not good for the NBA and did not promote the sport well. So if you had that type of play style all the time, the league would not have taken off, and you would have gotten better European talent, and it really made the league so much better today as it was back then. You wouldn't have had the European guys come in and start dominating like they are.
Exactly. The way that 92 Dream Team was assembled, we could market to them, and we could now open up the lines of communication in terms of globally for the NBA to be able to bring those guys over. And now we have this game where this is probably, aside from soccer, the most globally accepted sport. So
I would definitely agree with that.
Connor, I like that you like that analogy. Guys, I just dropped this week's Fanatics link in the chat for you guys. So you're looking for it. Right now we got 65% off site-wide over on Fanatics.com. If you use the promo code 39SHIP, whenever you click on that link, it'll be right there for you. If you need, you know, whatever your favorite team is for whatever sport, whatever player, we got you covered. The Rum Boys, let's get it. Also, check us out on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you know. Promo code Rum Boys for that. I'll tell you guys more about that later on. Cam Newton's former teammate, Mike Tolbert, comes out stating that the Panthers, they did Cam Newton dirty, is what he says. They did Cam Newton dirty in regards to the timeline of his injuries and the timeline of those surgeries. In essence, to kind of give a little bit more context, we take the shoulder injury, okay? Why are we waiting until the end of the season to have that surgery right now? So on and so forth. Take care of your guy. Do you feel like the Panthers were constantly, in my form of English, the way I interpret Tolbert's statement, fucking Cam Newton over?
You see so many athletes get their own opinions on things, and I think Cam Newton wanted to play, and he didn't want to stop playing, right?
No.
So, exactly. So I don't really buy this. I believe there are times when doctors lie to players and tell them they can keep playing, and players want to play win or lose because they get paid, and it's just fun to play football. So, yes, I believe it happens occasionally, but this is not one of those things. I don't think they forced Cam Newton to play. You could say he was not wise in getting a second opinion, but I'm sure this happens a lot, and I'm not going to say the Panthers specifically screwed Cam Newton and made him play football against his will, because he wanted to play football and he did not want to get shut down.
Yeah, I'm gonna second you there, brother, in that when I messed up my knee in my junior year of high school, I knew damn good and well that I should have sat down and I should have not went out there the next play. I went out there the next play. I go to jump with the guy. I end up getting a deflection, but I end up off the pressure of the force of coming up off the ground and you know, going in the air. I ended up
flexed your knee, and then once it flexed, you knew.
Yeah, it was, and then I go to the hospital the next day, and they're like, yeah, you torn your meniscus. Like, you're fucked. Like, you're not playing football, like, for a long time. And that haunted me. You know, I wasn't the same after that. That did affect me. I'm not saying that that's Cam Newton's necessarily his scenario. What I am saying is that, bro, you put that on yourself. And we all know that you put that on yourself because we all praise you for going out there on the field and being a soldier. I know that I was one of those guys that was like, man, look how tough Cam Newton is, man. You know, we hadn't seen toughness like that aside from guys like Big Ben, aside from guys like, you know, when we talk about toughness at quarterbacks, we talk about the Favres, the Bens, the Culpeppers, you know, where they just take hits and they just duck linebackers off of them. Cam Newton did that.
Yeah.
But that took a toll on him.
Yeah, and then even Brett Favre's case, that dude was on pills half his NFL career and drinking a bottle of vodka a day.
Function.
So that dude put permanent damage on his arteries to play football. So, yeah, I put it on the player. And if anything, I put it on football's culture of play through everything.
Yeah, I mean, and that is a part of the culture because we're taught that. We're taught that as young Pop Warner players. You know, you better play through it, boy. Get your ass up. Stop crying. You won't cry. You go sit over there with your mama. And that's how it was. That's how I used to talk to the kids. You won't cry. You ain't crying on my damn field, but go sit there on your mama's lap. And if your mama sit there and let you cry in her lap, then you know that y'all could both leave. Get off my field. And that's how it was.
Yeah, same with the fight game, too. I mean, the UFC had a fight that we covered where he would not quit. His corner would not throw the towel because he would not let them.
Yeah, the Smith fight.
What do you do? He wasn't going to quit. You don't quit in the UFC. You only quit when you're knocked out or unconscious. And I think there's a side of athletes I think that can always come back or play well. And it's a problem overall in sports. I don't think it's a doctor or, like, cultural issue in organizations because I'm sure they'd love to have Cam Newton healthy. Let's be real. Do you think Cam Newton, who hasn't been good the last few years, wants to give another guy a chance to play behind him and take his job?
Exactly.
Probably. So he wanted to play. I don't think it's fair to say that he was screwed over.
Yep. Connor says, really nice way to treat your former franchise QB. You know, the guy who won the MVP, made you relevant again, brought you a Super Bowl or brought you to a Super Bowl. Panthers didn't play this right. They didn't screw him, but they played him. Favre was like, dilly dilly, and then chuck the Hail Mary. Oh, my gosh. Hell yeah. Bills Mafia. I got an episode for you this week, Bills.
Yeah, the unfortunate side of it that makes the NFL always look bad in this, and that's unavoidable because you're not going to pay every player a guaranteed contract, is players have to play to get their money. Every other sport has guaranteed money. Even the UFC fighters have guaranteed money. It's very hard for an NFL player to not play. And I think that's something the CBA screwed up, if anything. I mean, they had a chance to get guaranteed money, and they didn't do it. So that all goes back to them.
I love how you just completely just deflected. It was like, nope, fuck them.
No, they had a chance, right? They just had a CBA, and I didn't see guaranteed contracts in there. So you didn't fight hard enough, you didn't.
So GMM... Bogard, here's the problem with that. So Bogard in the chat over here on YouTube ask all of you guys that are listening to us on Spotify, Apple, all of that good stuff. We will be coming to iHeart, working on that for you guys. I know a couple of you guys are like, why aren't you on iHeart Radio? We'll get that done. But in the YouTube chat, it is asked, so should Riverboat Ron make it right and bring him over to your Redskins? Look, I don't think that's making it right. And you don't want to bring in a guy like that when you're trying to breed up a guy and you know, hey, BKB dropping some don't know hype over here on Sportscaster. Dilly dilly, brother. Thank you. But I think that you don't bring in a guy like Cam when you're trying to develop Dwayne Haskins and build him up. When you have your former backup from Carolina and and Kyle Allen, you've moved on. I mean, and then you also treat said in here. You drafted Steven Montez from Colorado. Like you're not bringing in Cam Newton.
You're not.
I don't see Cam as a backup at any point. I see him walking away. He's gonna walk away. His ego's too big. And
he'll walk away. I'm walking away. He'll walk away. Yo, cheers to BKB for that Donal Hypo sportscaster.
He has that Ralph Lauren deal waiting, or whatever that modeling agency is.
Is it? Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Yeah, so he'll be fine regardless.
You know. So, I mean, I'm not, can't dress like an idiot and be a backup. Exactly, yeah. You can't go out there, press conference with, you know, act like you had a Vogue photo shoot and shit and be a backup. Like, that's just not going to work. I mean, Cam is a distraction from that standpoint.
Oh, Am I Redskins?
We don't need more distractions. We're trying to limit distractions. We're trying to change the culture. We're trying to re-chip and retool, so I don't think that we could do that. Yeah, Cam, I don't think that Cam would be the right move. Cam uses his legs a lot more. I don't think that Haskins isn't.
Yeah.
I know you don't let the skin color fool you. He's not mobile.
So, Stephen A. Smith.
I didn't even know that Stephen A. had ever said that. I just went there.
They were talking about Dwayne Haskins on First Take, and they were talking about how he'll translate to the NFL. And Stephen A. Smith said, when I see Dwayne Haskins, I think he's way too reliant on his legs and athleticism.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't even watch the tape. Yeah, I remember that.
The dude ran the ball like 10 times in the whole season. Most of those were sacks. So, but yeah, and about the moodiness of Cam Newton, I was kind of in agreement. He's just a moody guy, not a good leader. But then I watched the video of Flemlo Raps. Very good YouTube channel, actually.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah.
Flemo can always get a free promo. Damn. Ooh.
Yeah.
Jake, you are a genius.
But, okay, yeah. But here's my point on that is Cam Newton is a dude that he doesn't talk like a traditional quarterback. Am I wrong to say that? Very Southern, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard for him to be a voice of a franchise, be a guy that is comfortable acting like a professional quarterback. He's a Georgia guy. ATL, hip-hop, he's a Southerner, right? He's not going to have the quarterback mandatory communication skills. So, like, when you see him, how he is how he grew up in Atlanta. That's what he grew up with. He played in the SEC. I give him a pass on that.
He also played high school ball. So my high school, North Stafford, we used to face Potomac twice a year, and he played at Potomac. You know, Potomac doesn't – they don't use running QBs. Like, their high school has never, ever used running QBs. That was kind of more of where I went thing. You know, we usually did that. I remember we had this guy, Roy Felder. Roy Felder. And he was, like – he would just break out the pocket, you know, all the time. We crushed Potomac. I mean, but that's besides the fucking point. You know, what I'm trying to – the reason why I bring up Dwayne Haskins' high school career is because –
Cam Newton?
Or Cam, I'm sorry. I was bringing up Dwayne Haskins. We were talking about him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but the reason why I was bringing up Dwayne
Haskins – from Virginia, ironically. Yeah, a Virginia kid, but
– Yeah, but the reason why – yo, Connor said, fuck Potomac. Fuck Potomac! Yo, I love it. That brings back memories. But, like, the reason why I bring that up, you know, is because, like, you know, you're not – you're. Dwayne had always been that way. But in terms of Cam, you're not bringing him into the Redskins camp, point blank, period. I mean, just because I don't think our playbook is even going to be revolving around a mobile QB. None of our QBs are mobile. So that tells me that Riverboat is not going to have a whole lot of dinks and ducks, you know, on the scrambles or anything like that. We're not looking at a lot of bootleg play action plays or anything like that. We're looking at under center, three-step drop, throws. Like, shit like that. Think of it. I mean, it's not the West Coast offense, but think of it kind of like the West Coast.
Yep. And to add to, the Cam Newton just not being the typical, positive quarterback, you have to think all the coverage in his career is him stealing a laptop, getting kicked out of school, always asked about it, so why would he talk to the media? Why would he be out there social and be nice to people that he doesn't know? Then he goes to Auburn and has his dad take money. His dad took money. I don't care what happened. it did happen somewhere. And guess what? He was always Scam Newton. He was made fun of.
Yeah.
So his entire career, he was on the defensive. And he's never really been considered a guy that could professionally, and I hate that way of saying it. The dude's a Southerner from Atlanta, ATL, hip-hop, right? But he's not been the Tom Brady defending himself on CNN 60 Minutes or whatever. He's got to do it his own way. Yeah. So I think the moodiness is always just seen as where he grew up. And I always defend him on that now, after seeing that side of his life.
Well, I mean, so essentially you're saying that you want to see Cam get a chance. You want to see Cam...
I do, but I want him to be... It has to be a 50-50 chance to start. That's my concern. Like,
okay.
The Chargers or something, and you get rid of the other two quarterbacks because they give money some stick. The Tyrod's kind of looking like a temporary guy. I want to see... If he can get to the Chargers and just compete with the rookie there and figure it out. But he has to be somewhere where he can be himself and know he can compete for a job. But I think there's a place for him. Pats? Well, I think that would have been happened by now, Connor Burke. I'm not so sure they would have waited this long.
Yeah. Plenty of time for him to tweet in front of a tweet in crazy front from a couch. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, no, I don't think New England's going to be a thing like Jake just said.
They had so long to sign him.
I mean,
I like the fit. I just don't think they like the fit because they would have paid him by now.
Stidham is clearly the guy up there in Boston. Let's dive into our next topic here. This one you're going to love. You are going to freaking love this shit right here, Jake. When this came up, and this came up literally right before the fucking show, bro. And your boy, I mean, I don't want to say your boy because you did pick Fury along with me. But your boy, in the essence of, you have to cover this motherfucker, dog, says...
His corner won't cover for him.
Oh, don't know hype from Slap. Quick before we
get into this perfect topic. Timing. Thank you. I was just
Perfect fucking timing, bro. Perfect timing, bro. Oh my gosh, I'm about to kill this bottle on this shot right here. Hey, so guys, I would like to say that out of probably all the writers, Jake gets to cover all the dumb shit because a lot of these fighters, they deal with CTE, right? So what happens is, they say dumb shit. Cheers to me, cheers to you, all the Rum boys and girls. What it do? Dilly dilly. So essentially, Deontay Wilder, right? Appreciate that five. Da-da! Don't know hype!
Thanks,
hell yeah. He says on his IG Live, how many Hall of Famers did Tyson fight? And don't bring up Spinks or Holmes. He lost against Holyfield twice and Lennox Lewis. So who else? Now, do you agree with Wilder going in on Iron Mike? Or how do you really feel about this? Because I don't like that shit, bro, to be honest.
Well, it's boxing culture. Every fighter who makes it 30-0, 40-0 fights nobodies. Halfway up their rank. So a resume in boxing is your top five wins in most cases.
Wait. So Rocky Marciano fought nobodies.
I think it's fair to say he fought who was ever at that local city that day. I mean, boxing was... He fought the best in the world in that area. It's very hard to get the best promotional aspect because there wasn't the money in boxing. I mean, when you have to fight 50 times to make a living on something and fight at that age, yeah, there wasn't the money. And now it's... You have to get this guy on the list a chance because... It's a pound-for-pound list at that promotion. This is the fight we want. We didn't get that fight. So, again, and I could say the same thing about... Yeah, Tyson fought nobodies. A lot of fighters fight nobodies. And guess who's going to be fighting nobodies until they get the fight they want? And I think it's the fight. I think it's Crawford and Spence. Anybody they fight's a nobody to me right now.
Yeah.
So, boxing culture...
Is that just the heavyweight division, though?
I would say there's not a lot of good coordinated fighters at heavyweight. that's the hardest place to find talent. I mean, there's not many, as many big people who could really be athletes and fight that long at that level with the power and consistency. And as you go up in heavyweight, you're going to be fighting people who have no reason to be in the ring with you. And again, it changes, and there's smaller guys who are like at the 145 to 170 divisions where you really have a fight every time you go out. But
so
yeah, there are heavy, I mean, UFC, boxing, heavy, it's hard to find athletic, skilled, developed heavyweights. I mean, it's not easy to do.
So here's my thing, all right? So Wilder, I'm going to debunk your whole fucking take. Wilder, you also said in your IG Live, those of us out here don't know shit about boxing. Well, I'm just going to fucking show you just how much that I know about boxing. I'm going to take and I'm going to dissect every single thing that you said on your IG Live that I feel was controversial. First off, with the Spinx take. You and you mentioned this in your IG Live, Wilder. You and I both know goddamn well that Spinks was scared out of his motherfucking mind when he stepped in that ring. Spinks had to come up to heavyweight in order to take that fight. Boxing essentially forced that in order to match up and to take place. All right? So I get you saying what you had to say about Spinks. Larry Holmes, he was out of his fucking prime. All right?
Yeah.
So I get that. I get that.
Way past his prime.
When Tyson fought Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, which are the other two examples.
Who he cannot, yeah.
Guys that he had to face, guess who was out of their prime? Fucking Iron Mike. So you can't sit here, Deontay Wilder, and talk about man that had 46 knockouts when you got your ass knocked out by Tyson Fury. And then you also, the first time around, could not put away Tyson Fury the first time around. Now, I'm not saying that you're facing greater competition, because I thoroughly do not believe that. And I thoroughly do believe that Tyson was up against good boxers. Like, Buster Douglas was no slouch. Buster Douglas was beating anybody and everybody that stepped within fucking 2 feet within him.
The only person who beat Buster Douglas was himself when he gave up a lot of fights because he wasn't motivated.
Well, motivated, exactly. You know, look, Wilder, you want to have this debate, I will gladly bring you on the show any given time, and we can have a very astute boxing debate, okay? Am I Max Kellerman by any means? No. But do I know my shit because I grew up around the sport? Fuck yes. And I'll have the debate with you, my man, but I'm going to be honest, you're wrong. You're wrong.
The idea that Hall of Famers in boxing are better or worse, that is so weird because their careers, their first 30 fights, if you're in a title contention, are against people you're supposed to run through. Like, Shakur is still waiting for the fight that he really wants with Loma, and the dude's fought over 20 times.
Multiple times.
Yes.
And he cleans up everybody.
Exactly. And he's supposed to. Those guys should not be fighting him. And guess what? They're making him look good. I know he's a good fighter. Every fighter has that phase where they make you look good.
And so Deontay
everybody fights nobodies. And
Deontay went through that phase. Tyson went through that phase. Anthony Joshua went through that phase.
For his first 35 fights, he fought nobody, to be honest.
I love this comment. I love this comment right here from Immersive Sports Science. The fight us Brits. Want to see, shout out to our guys across the pond over there in Immersive Sports Science. I featured on that podcast before. Make sure you check them out. They want to see either Joshua Fury or Wilder versus Joshua.
That's going to be hard to do, though, just because Top Rank has to somehow find a way to talk or pay out enough money to give up that rematch with Wilder.
You know what?
Because Wilder's promotion is going to demand that we need the PBC money that we're going to lose from that rematch right now, because that's in our contract. That's a big payday for us. So can you pay us to get out of this rematch? Can you pay us to hold off the rematch and guarantee there is one with that winner? And it's literally three divisions. It's DAZN, Top Rank, and PBC all fighting for the next payday against Fury.
And
it looks like it'll be Wilder versus Fury, because I don't think Top Rank's going to pay PBC.
Crazy mofo up in here. Dilly Dilly Crazy Mofo. And I want to agree with you there, Jake. You know how you just broke down all the different divisions and corporations of which
run the
sport?
Which is why boxing's awful, and I hate it, because you can't get the fights you want.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now, I want to say this to Wilder. Wilder, and the sport that you fight in, that you box in today, and the sport that Tyson boxed in before, two totally different styles of boxing, because Tyson was taking fights week after week. You, sir, are not regulated to be able to do that. The WBO does not allow that. No. Okay, Tyson legitimately, I'm trying to remember the fighter. He literally knocked out, I can't remember, lanky white dude. It was this lanky white dude.
He was a British dude.
Yeah, he Tyson demolishes him, and then right after that goes to fight the ESPN champ. And after the ESPN champ, he goes to fight the WBO belt. Like, he had fought back-to-back heavyweight champs. He had to go and fight the homie Cairo. He had to fight the homie Cairo after he had fought the ESPN champ. And, like, they were in the ring after fighting. They're like, aren't you going to be fighting Cairo next? And he was like, actually, no. I got to go fight, I think it was Harrington or something like that over at... Who was
you need to fight somebody. You can't go out of your promotion twice in a row for the big fight. You have to come back, defend your belt against the next contender before you can go out and negotiate with another promotion. Which is why you miss so many fights that you want to see in boxing. And UFC is not innocent either. I mean, I'd love to see Douglas Lima and Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, we might as well tie in some of that. A lot of the chat is talking about that.
I would love to see UFC and Bellator cross-promote champions once, but it won't happen. Dana has too much money, and he knows he's the superior product in the public's eyes, so he's not going to put his talent at risk.
Yeah, we got some more UFC talk for you guys later throughout the show. I know someone brought up Conor Usman. I know BKB brought up Conor Usman. Let's tackle that one right now. Conor Usman.
Usman, I think, knows that he's a really bad matchup. And reportedly by a decision against Covington and Usman, just by the style. And I think he wants a big payday to take the loss. He also knows the biggest payday would be McGregor, but McGregor doesn't want to fight him because McGregor's heat pay-per-view points, just money. And overall, it's just a mess of Conor wants to fight for a belt. Usman wants a money fight, so that does make sense. And Dana didn't shut it down yet, so it probably could happen. And I'm not surprised that Masvidal wants Diaz again for another payday because I don't think Masvidal wants to fight Covington or Usman. I think he wants to fight McGregor or Diaz again.
Masvidal just wants money.
Don't blame him.
Masvidal wants money and big names. He wants money and big names. He does not care about belts. Like I think Masvidal's outlook right now on the sport is, why am I going to go try and fight for this belt? And if that belt's not going to make me the same, me fighting for that belt's not going to make me the same amount of money as me fighting this guy over here that is just a name, you know? So I think that Jorge, he's playing the money game. I like that you brought that up.
Well,
yeah,
MMA
I don't
want to
see Masvidal Diaz again.
Love to go with it, and it's very too recent to not take into account. The most dominant performance against Damian Maya were Usman, Covington, and Woodley. The three guys he's in. And guess who dominated Masvidal? Damian Maya. Didn't even give him a chance to throw. Yeah. So I think he sees the matchup issues. And he's like, you got to pay me a lot to take this because I am in it and I know I'm probably not going to be favored and I know I'll probably end up being taken down multiple times. So I think he's looking at it. Yeah, I have hype here. Let me fight big names because I don't think I feel safe taking this without getting that couple million dollars. And he's 35 years old as well. So if he loses, he's going to fall all the way off. And so he really has one big fight if he loses. And that's the problem with him where I think I would love to see McGregor Moss, one I want to see. I kind of want to see a rematch with Colby and Usman. He's the only one that's been close to Usman. Maybe Leon Edwards first, then you bring Colby back for a rematch with Usman and have Usman fight Woodley. But I just don't think Masvidal was like, without getting paid big. Oh. And I don't blame him for it.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Make sure you guys stay around, stick around. Today's a show that you're not going to want to be dipping in and out of. You're going to want to be around the whole time. We are going to have some more UFC talk throughout today's show. We have some lines for you guys, stuff like that. So if you're looking to make some money this weekend, you're going to want to stick around. Let's dive into this next topic here. And this was the biggest fucking event of the weekend. 5.8 million views, okay? $20 million raised. Of course, we'll talk about no other than The Match 2. The Match 2 rakes in 5.8 million in views, 20 million in donations. Danger Russ had me yelling at my fucking TV because he placed a bet live on air. And he goes, whoever makes it 12 feet within this hole, and I think it was on like hole like 14, I'm going to donate 100K mils to for each one. And then next thing you know, Peyton goes yard. And then fucking Brady goes yard. And then Mickelson goes yard. What Tiger was the only one that didn't get within 12 feet of the hole, but he was close. So then he donates 300K in mils. Peyton was trolling the fuck out of Tom Brady. He was inside of Brady's head, and it was classic. I've never seen Brady get trolled harder in my life. I didn't think that you could troll someone that hard on a golf course. Finally, Eli becoming king of Twitter. Like, just how overall kick-ass was this golf event?
Yeah. It wasn't actually him using it. It was literally for one ad. That's so great.
Yeah.
Now Peyton needs to get one.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is, it's so entertaining. But my role is the most entertaining things in golf are Tiger, Phil, and these promotional things with other athletes. What are they going to do when Tiger and Phil retire? The viewers they want, and obviously the four majors get some attention. I mean, the British, maybe not as much. But it's still a major. I don't know what golf's going to do long term when these guys leave.
Yeah.
It's very different how they're going to maintain, because this event of like golf is more of a spectacle if you think about it.
Yo,
it's
this
awful to say it.
But all right, is it a spectacle to golf because something like the Masters brings in 10 million views, 10 to 12 million views, right?
Yeah, and maybe on a Sunday, that's the thing. People watch the back nine on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I'm a very fair-weather golf fan. I'm the first to admit that. But I can't watch a whole tournament of golf, but I mean, this was semi-entertaining. And I mean, as far as a personality goes, but I'm like, golf's golf, man. Like, I like the drama, and I like the feeling around it. But like, if I have to watch it, I need names. And what does golf do without the names?
Yeah, I need names, first off. And that's what made me watch this. I did watch this. I did catch a little snooze fest for four holes. I woke up to Brady freaking just ducking it in the hole from like 140 yards out. I think he did it with his putter. So, I mean, that was pretty impressive. I enjoyed – what really made it entertaining for me was Eli Manning on Twitter. You know, Eli Manning on Twitter.
Allegedly.
That was – allegedly Eli. You know, I mean, there was pictures from inside Eli's house watching the golf tournament, you know. And people were pieced together, like, is that really Eli watching? And they, like, pulled up pictures of, like, his house before and shit. It was Eli, you know, from what we know, allegedly. I loved Peyton Manning beginning with, I didn't know who I was going to get to come out here to caddy with me with all these social distancing orders. I was going to call up, you know, maybe my brother Eli. I know that he can get into Brady's head. I was, you know, maybe going to call up Nick Foles. He's in Tampa now, so maybe if I call up Belichick. And then Brady turning around and looking back at Peyton like, you fucking dick. Like, you really just went there. That was great.
the funniest thing to me was, I think, I forget, it was on the first nine, but Brady shanked a drive, and Tiger just said, "I don't think that's going to hit the fairway. I bet you 20, I bet you so much money it doesn't hit the fairway," after he shanked it. And Brady just like, "What the fuck, man?"
Yeah, dude.
He's like, Tiger, like in the woods.
And then Tiger's like, "Yeah, that's a, that's a 50 grand right there. Like that's like 100K.
But like, after he hit it, he's like, "I bet you 50K. I bet you this much doesn't make the fairway." After he was in the woods, it's like, "Bro, come on."
Bro, yep. Shout out to Jim of the Icon.
Your own teammate just trolled you.
Oh, bro, they gave no fucks, bro. Like seeing rich guys golf for money and charity was great.
Well, Tiger's still salty. I think he lost the first one a couple years ago.
Yo, shout out to Jim of the Icon, season one of his episode on YouTube, on all of his shows on YouTube. Just wrapped up. Make sure you guys check out the Icon show, www.jimoftheicon.com. We will also be getting him a page over on Rumble. I gotta get with our web engine and get an overhaul up. But no, dude, you're absolutely correct, man. It was fucking phenomenal. Tiger being salty about the first one, he pulled up big time for him and Peyton. Brady and Mickelson got slaughtered. Seeing Brady get a real life golf lesson from Phil Mickelson let us all know that we're all a little bit normal. Like, I feel like I could golf the same game that Brady did.
Yep. And Barkley was offended. Someone called him a fat ass.
Yes. Hey, fucking TJ.
You can dish it out and you call yourself fat, but in the end of it all, you can't take it yourself.
Yeah, Justin Thompson goes, and that was actually right when I woke up. I woke up to Justin Thompson going, "Yeah, Charles, I would love to see your fat ass dunk a basketball at this age." And, like, Charles like, whoa, that was uncalled for. Like,
which it really isn't, because he's making fun of himself more than anyone else could ever make fun of him. So
I think that JT was like, "I watched you enough on TNT." Charles is that American personality. He's in all of our homes on NBA pregame, to where I think we all would do what JT did in that situation. Like, I'm holding the mic, I'm commentating this motherfucker in the rain. There's Charles Barkley sitting there. "Hey, Jordan stopped you from winning a ring." Like, I would have said some stupid shit. Like, I would have done it too. Yeah. Let's get into the next one, man. I can't believe we actually just brought up golf on this show. That is the very first time in Rumboys history. Rumboys Fantasy Network history just made, ladies and gentlemen, golf just made it onto the show.
The future of golf is looking really great if you have old names that people used to see as dominant.
The future of golf is looking great if you can make it on this show. We've avoided covering golf on this show.
Unless Tiger wins the Masters, and then it's a big deal.
Right. Oh, that is a huge deal. Speaking of golf, golf is getting back up and running. If you guys are interested in winning some money, you want to win that cold hard cash, we do have golf props over on monkeyknifefight.com. We have UFC popping off this weekend, so we have some UFC props happening over on monkeyknifefight.com, also with some esports props tossed in there as well. Promo code Rumboys, as you see it above us in all caps. Holy shit. In all caps. Make sure you guys head over to monkeyknifefight.com. We're going to match you with your very first deposit all the way up to $50. Might as well drop that whole 50. You get $100 in games worth of play. Let's dive into that next topic, Jake. What do you say?
Let's go, man.
Dude, I don't even be trying to rhyme, man. Maybe I should be the fantasy football rapper when this motherfucker. I'm kidding.
Okay, so Robbie and the Manning brothers on a new fantasy football fantasy. 2021.
Wait, what was that? Wait, me and what? The Manning brothers? What?
Yeah, remember that song they had where they rapped over fantasy football?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Fantasy.
Add Robbie.
Fantasy football.
Oh, gosh. That never should have happened. But
let's dive into this next topic. Does the NBA March Madness style tournament eliminate the argument that the Eastern Conference is the lesser competition? I mean, if they have a 16 seed style tournament, which we're going to react to here, I'm going to get that pulled up for the fans. How are you feeling about this, brother?
I don't like the NCAA style of tournament when it comes to determining a professional championship. I think it will definitely help even the odds, but I was never one to say the East was that much worse than the West. It was worse in depth, but I mean, they won their titles besides the Golden State run and the Lakers. late 09, 10. So I think this is a bad idea for the NBA to resort to. And I would rather them play at least a three-game series the first round, then go five, and then go seven for, like, the last couple. But I guess if you have to do it, and it would help the East advance and really get two Eastern Conference teams in there. But I want to see East versus West. I'm not ready to give that up yet.
I don't know if I'm necessarily ready to give up an East versus West like you just mentioned.
The East wins the title rather often. It's not like they get dominated in the finals every year besides Kevin Durant's Warriors having that run.
I mean, here's what we would be looking at. I'm trying to see if I could get us an actual graphic of this. I just now have essentially what the seeding is going to be. This is only potential seeding, and this does come from DraftKingsNation.com. Cool. Only because I'm a good fucking journalist am I plugging my source, okay? Otherwise, fuck your website, runboys.com, over anything, jerk-offs.
I'm sure there's like a million tiebreakers we don't know that would change a few spots, but...
Facts. By the way, I'm pretty sure I broke a couple of FCC fines by letting DraftKings know there's some jerk-offs. But if we were looking at Bucks versus Magic as a 1 versus 16, Heat versus Thunder, Lakers versus Nets, Jazz versus Rockets, Raptors versus Grizzlies, Nuggets versus Pacers, Clippers versus Mavericks, and Celtics versus 76ers. And I'm going to get that pulled up so that you guys can look at it. Unfortunately, it's not a cool, fancy graphic. I probably should have had Rumble's graphics be like, yo, hook me up some dope shit.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much East versus West, minus a few. The Thunder one specifically. The one that excites me there would be the Embiid versus the Tatum matchup and the Sixers versus Celtics. But, again, I definitely like the 1-8 in both, and you figure it out. I'm not really a fan of this in pro sports. It's not really matching divisions. And if you're doing this going forward, how do you just get rid of divisions of basketball?
Yeah, I guess good? Just get rid of divisions, bro.
And, yeah, then you have tiebreakers lost, and you have to make them up again. I don't really think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
help the East, but I don't think this is the best way to help the East.
So
it's a method that does work, but there's better ways.
So let me look at the positive of this, all right? And there's realistically only one positive that off the top of my dome right now on air that I can present to you guys, and it possibly you guys be like, oh, okay, like I see that. And that is... this just truly shows whatever team was more put together and more dominant will survive, no matter if it's East, West, whatever. Now, to caveat that and to kind of, I guess you could say, second that there are teams that are going to have players coming back because of this whole pandemic. Like, is there going to be a clause written in that, hey, Nets, you can't come back with KD because that's not the way that real life was really real when playoffs were settled. I mean, that and that remains to be answered. That remains to still that we still puzzle over that. I'm not sure if I like this. I like the most dominant coming out on top, like especially if it's my Lakers. But at the same time,
this would never work with travel either.
Well, they're playing it at Disney. They're playing it at the
ESPN. Yeah, this works one year, but going forward, this title will be in question even more if you change any rules or change series length or anything like that. So I think they should keep it as consistent as possible to make this a legitimate title run if they can.
Is there going to be an asterisk next to this year's title? I mean,
I think regardless, there will be for sure. But I also feel like if you keep it just as close as possible to the regular schedule and regular seedings based on conference, you'll be better off convincing people later. Because I think eventually you'll forget about it. People forget the NBA had a lockout season where they missed 30 games.
Yeah.
But I think short-term people will always consider it a kind of not asterisk-based title, but in the end, they'll forget about it unless you change the rules and go 1-16, get rid of conferences. This is not a time to experiment with a new way of doing things because you want to have a legitimate title for the West, East, and then the NBA Finals.
Exactly.
People will forget there's no fans and they miss some games, but people won't forget if you change the rules for 1 year.
Wow. This just in, Jalen Ramsey says he will report to camp without an extension, set to earn $13.7 million in his last year of his deal. So
should have taken the money when they offered him on the sign and trade. Because his value was shot down after he was traded.
It's his stupid ass. Here, just give me 1 second here. Let me save part one of this. Let me take care of us over here on your favorite podcasting platforms. If there's anywhere that you guys like to listen to podcasts and like you want us to be there, like let me know. We'll figure out the logistics of how to get over there. Like I said, we're going to work on the getting over on iHeartRadio here within the coming month or so. Let's go ahead and continue, brother. You know, so I mean, really quick, I mean, like we mentioned, that would have been that's the proposed NBA bracket.
Yeah.
I'm still going to take my Lakers. Like, I think they set it up to make it Lakers Clippers in a finals, a battle of LA, just given the way that, you know, they set up the Clippers to go up against the Mavericks. Then they would have to go up against either the Celtics or the 76ers. They would easily beat either one of those teams. They set the Lakers up to face the Nets, and then they would have to face the Jazz or the Rockets. The Rockets could beat the Lakers, but I mean, if it's a one and done NCAA style, I think the Lakers are going to put it all on line and, you know, beat them out. So I mean, I think they set this up to where this could work out to where either an underdog is going to win it or what the NBA really wants is, you know, that type of scenario.
I don't see the NBA missing out on many games if they can, because they do have to get their airtime to please some sponsors.
Yeah.
So maybe they go 5 the first round, but that's the biggest change I see.
It's definitely going to be interesting. Let's actually – we're going to do – yeah, let's go NFL FPI rankings right now. So the NFL FPI rankings – did come out today. So, you know, the Football Power Index. Essentially, and there's a lot of things here. Mainly, you know, just a couple of big things, actually, that I disagree with. Mainly the Cowboys and where they're ranked because they fucking suck. But I'm going to let you kind of start us off here, man. How did you feel about the FPI when it came out? They go Chiefs, Ravens, Saints, 49ers, and Cowboys with the highest chances to win the Super Bowl.
So my confusion with this is this based on the players' peak performances and the most in the reasonable time frame? If they put it together, this is how good a team will be? Because that's the only way I see it, because the Cowboys were good a couple years ago and everyone played really well, and you're looking at a very peak performance of a lot of these teams in the last couple years to do so. Because they have the talent, and that's definitely not going to be something they're concerned about. But I think there's some, like, almost algorithmic approach where it's just if players all play well and stay healthy and play together, this is how good they could be.
So,
which you can't guarantee, because that's most teams break down due to chemistry and coaching problems.
So
in the NFL,
what I'm told in regards to how the FPI is developed, the FPI equation, and it is done by they do it purposely by a male and female computer, that so that way nothing can be skewed either way. I don't know why the fuck the sex of the computer matters, but whatever, Watson. And I guess they
probably change names of the players, so there's no search issues, and just have their results on the field.
Yeah,
so,
and it was, apparently they're supposed to account for every player all the way down to, like, attitude factors. So even down to things like spite and personality are accounted into this.
So the Cowboys defense is projected to come together and use that talent well? I guess that's basically what they're banking on. Because Dak did enough last year on offense if they get the defense together. I'm not sure why that would change, though. I don't trust the defense to really fix anything, to be honest. So
they're also projecting that the Jacksonville Jaguars will be the 32nd team in the league with five total wins, and that's the lowest record.
Yeah, there's no way. They could definitely have the least win total, but Mitchell could fall apart, but five wins, I mean, there's going to be a 3-13 team in there, I'd imagine.
Fantasy Football Peacock asks, does it account for a rest rate? I don't think so, to be honest. Yes, lads, keep up the good work. What's up, 5-11 Podcast?
Yep, the Chiefs lose four wins because Williams got arrested. I guess. Yeah. No, I don't understand this. I think that it's a good way to evaluate football if you're a gambler and you want to take that chance, but I don't think you can predict chemistry on a team. So I'm skeptical of it. I just feel like the teams that were good last year and have talent will be good again. And there'll be one team that maybe falls off and another team that comes in. And it could be Dallas, but yeah. I like insider reporting more than anything else, just to hear how the team's going to figure things out once they get in the locker room.
I don't know. For the public that listens to us, and especially when sports are going on and we got guys, you know, hopping in the chat and they're like, hey, you know, what do you think about this over under? Hey, what do you think about this prop bet? Hey, you know, what do you think about this for fantasy? Like, when we're talking money being on the table, I am not utilizing the football power index as trick and as a tool to judge where I'm going to wager my money.
How do you take coaching into account?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we got teams with new coaches. There's just so much that can sway. And I just really feel like that these computers, they don't. It's cool for these computers to produce these results. And it also gives us something to talk about. And it also could show that sometimes man is just better than technology. I mean, you're projecting the Jets at 7 wins. I don't know about that.
I could see 6-7 wins, but. Again, I don't understand how, like, the algorithmic approach. I want to see the breakdown of it. So, like, you're Madden ranking players, and then you're throwing together production on another team, another system, and putting all the numbers. This guy did this in a 4-3. This is a 3-4 body of work. Is this guy better in the box? Will he play in the box here? What percentage of time did last year's player at the added position play in the box if he's on a new team? I feel like there's a lot of things there that just go beyond this is how it works because this is what he did last year at the spot, because you can't determine an individual's personality with a new guy lined up next to you on the field.
Exactly. Oh, turn up the Jets. No, it was not a jab at your Jets at all, man.
I mean, you'd probably take 7 wins, 6 wins as a Jets fan.
I mean, possibly. Like, the fact that this thing projected nobody.
You might want to lose and get rid of Adam Gase if he's still there. You might want to tank and get rid of the coach. That should be your plan.
But, like, the fact that this thing projected... the Cowboys number 5. That's completely fucking astonishing and appalling.
They have talent, man. It could come down to that offense.
Oh, fuck. Fucking talent.
You put up numbers, now you have CeeDee Lamb. And if you get a defense that gets some turnovers, it could happen. But, again, I was the one at a bar a couple years ago when the Jags were good for 1 year. Or they blew somebody out the first week they shouldn't have. And I was laughing. Someone was like, they could win the division. I was like, I'll bet you $500 they don't win the division. And I had to pay $500. I mean, I paid up. I was like, oh, well, that happened.
They have the Chargers at 8-8, but they ranked the Chargers below the Raiders and Broncos, so they put it 7-9. See, this makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I think this is all about what players do and they're projecting how that player is going to play for a new team compared to the last one and like where they're going to be on the field and how they do on that part of the field. And it's, I think players are more adaptive than this program gives it credit for, or less adaptive.
Oh, they just have the whole AFC South. Just everyone's going to go 8-8. Like everyone in the AFC. Like, God, I'm fucking done. Yeah. Football Power Index, BMI Watson Computers, you lost your fucking job. You lost your job.
At least
job.
It's better than the NBA reporters who vote players, like the top 20 players in the NBA some years. Like one year they had Russell Westbrook like only the 18th best player in basketball. It's like, all right, I know he has problems, but there's 17 guys better than him?
Better, yeah.
Find them, please. Please give me the list. And algorithm you use to determine this.
Some people's kids, bro. Some people's kids. Next up, we do have to talk about the NHL. The NHL is going to be returning, and they have their playoff matchups. To my belief, all set up. And let's see here. I'm trying to get the seeding. So I don't know how they're going to work the teams are outside. It's supposed to be a 24-team matchup. Have you seen this recently, Jake?
I've seen the plan. I know NHL has half the league or more already in the playoffs. So is it the same exact setup as before, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I'm a big hockey fan, but I respect they're keeping as consistent as they can.
Yeah, they're actually trying to keep it as consistent as possible. So here's I guess it would be the Bruins versus Columbus. So it'd be Boston versus Columbus, Vegas versus Winnipeg, Edmonton versus Calgary, Tampa versus Toronto. The Blues got to go up against Smashville. The Caps versus the Hurricanes. I don't think that this is probably last year, isn't it? No, this is this year. This is for this year. Yep. The Penguins got to verse the Flyers, and the Avs would verse the Stars.
I know the Penguins don't like the Flyers, and vice versa. I know that's the case.
Oh yeah, dude, we fucking hate my Capitals hate the Canes, bro, because the Canes eliminated us last year. Yeah,
so,
I'm trying to.
Is there a matchup for the Penguins and Capitals to meet them where it looks pretty reasonable? Because I think that's what the league would really like to see again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I saw this. Like, are they trying to?
Yeah, because they're trying. They probably want to keep like the big names from last year in the same area to at least meet up. And if they're doing it the same way, I'm guessing. Caps get a bye. Yeah, I mean, they should get a bye.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because like, the Caps, like, we were like one of the fucking best teams before all this coronavirus shit closed it all down. Yeah, it looks like there's a plan to return. I am trying to get a specific date. If someone drops that in the chat first, let me know.
It's probably late or mid to late next month or something. I would guess.
Everything is supposed to be returning around July.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, NHL.com sucks with their information right now, because I just want to see a bracket that they have. Like, I know they have the bracket because I saw it before. Oilers. It'd be Oilers versus Blackhawks. Oh shit. That'd be
Blackhawks.
Bad.
Blackhawks had a run going, and then their team just got super old.
Yup.
Now they have Kane, and that's about it. I know some things about hockey.
Oh yeah, I know some.
I know
shit.
A little bit.
I know some.
I know the main players.
But I just wanna. I just want them to give me a goddamn. Let me get a bracket, bro. So, I mean, because, yeah, I think that was the most accurate one that I brought up. I'm not sure. I could have sworn.
Is that Gary Bettman still a commissioner? That would help.
I don't know. Triet in the chat. You have two heart.
Connor McDavid. I know Connor McDavid's the next big superstar is supposed to be. I think he played college at Boston University. All right. If I'm correct by that, I do watch the NCAA Frozen Four.
Caps get a bye.
Yeah.
They play in a round robin for top four seeds. Boston, Philadelphia. Hang on. Boston, Philadelphia, Tampa, Washington, Colorado, St. Louis, Vegas, and Dallas. And he said Leon Draisaitl. I don't know.
Yeah. I know Connor McDavid was a superstar. He played 1 year in college, I think, at Boston University. And he broke a record his rookie year on a really bad team.
Dude.
I know names. Here. Like, if you say names, I could, like, think of, like, oh, yeah, this person did that.
I'm going to put it like this.
I'm not great with, like, teams or, like, records as they go.
See, I have teams and records. I don't have players.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the Frozen Four, and there's always that superstar who dominates the next year or should dominate the year after they're drafted.
So I'm going to put it like this. For your betting lines, I'm going to tell you guys what I told you before all this stuff started. You're picking the Caps all the way. The Caps got this. I'm taking the Caps all the way. As soon as this son of a bitch opens back up and we got this 24-team tournament, my first bet that I'm placing is Capitals all the way.
I would bet the league wants, obviously, the Penguins and Capitals to meet up again. That's the finals almost for them.
Yep.
So they're going to set that up to go well. One of those teams I would bet to lose in the first round if you think that's going to happen or that matchup won't happen, or it's because they're going to meet in the conference finals. It always happens one team doesn't make it there recently, I feel like, until last year, obviously, where they won.
Fucking the Blues. The fucking Blues. The Blues gave me the Blues. Next topic here. Let's see what we got up next here on the show, Jake. And actually, this is our final topic. So, UFC Fight Night breakdown. We were back and forth about whether this signing was going to happen in the world of MMA, in the world of mixed martial arts. It turns out this fight did sign. You had told people last week, guys, we're going to have fights on the 30th. Don't worry, the Rumbles are live. So what is your breakdown heading in to what night is it? To the 30th. What is that, Sunday night? Saturday night? Saturday yep. night?
At Saturday.
Saturday.
It's pretty early, nice. It's pretty early. They're being nice to us. So.
Yeah, we got the Saturday.
So this is a card that was thrown together, and you could say a lot of Fight Night cards are. A lot of the fighters up until the main event have fought maybe three times at most in the UFC versus a vet who happens to be in Vegas. So it's not the best card, but the main event does have some title implications on the line. Because if Tyron loses, I don't know what you do. He's 37 years old, about to be 38. It's very tough for him to ever make the UFC respect him again after what he's done. Whatever he's doing with his rap game, or he's flexing, buying, complaining about not making enough money after buying 30 cars. Like, there's things he does. I get it. Live his life. I think it's hard to defend him based on how he treats the UFC, not paying him enough when he lives that lifestyle above his means. And he loses the title and still wants to get paid like a champion. So I see the UFC getting rid of him as quick as they can. If he loses again, he might have another fight on his contract. Gilbert Burns is older, but he's in his 30s already, but he is newer to MMA. He is a world-class jiu-jitsu specialist. He is probably a top grappler in the world for his weight class. And like Woodley, he has moments where he's not technical in striking, nor is Woodley, but he can sleep people. He just lands and sleeps people. So this is a matchup of, I don't know who wins on the feet. It's going to be a slugfest. But when it goes to the ground, will world-class wrestling beat out world-class BJJ? Or will Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu take over the wrestling? And who's going to, will it be pressure, ground and pound in, with Woodley, just beating him up nonstop, stopping the fight on the ground? Or will it be a submission by Gilbert Burns setting up Woodley?
So
it's interesting because you usually see the MMA debate of grappling versus wrestling. This, you have two of the best at, in the world at what they're doing against each other with equal striking. So this will really have a good argument on what's more important in MMA.
Yeah, so I'm definitely...
And I'm picking Burns, by the way. I think he's younger and I think he has a better tank, and that's my pick. But I just think Woodley's time has passed.
Which is where I was actually going to go, which was exactly what I was going to say. And the reason why I say that is...
I'll go by third round submission.
Yeah.
That's a risk because Woodley never gets finished. So if he gets finished, that is a huge mark on Burns' record if he could finish Tyron Woodley.
In the words of a old school famous rapper by the name of Nas...
Tyron Woodley. He's a rapper too.
I didn't know that. Holy fuck.
He walked out to his own song and got starched by Kamaru.
I'm going to look that up now. But in the words of Nas, a shoot, 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 I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money, Playboy, your time is up. Woodley, your time is up. 37 years old. I probably would have walked away a year or two ago if I were you. So, because of that, and because of your...
He could have walked out on top. That would have been great.
He could have. But yeah. Because of your stubbornness and you wanting to fucking think that you can still go out here with these young cats and still do this shit,
Yeah. You're
going to get worked.
See, I think the issue with Woodley is he really... I can't say crafted because a lot of guys have done it before, but he's at that weight class. He kind of crafted what GSP did with more wrestling, a little more wrestling instead of the just toughness on the feet and the jab. He made that a wrestling style. So
yeah,
and you have two guys who, in my opinion, do it better than him and are younger, in Usman and Covington. But he could have left and said, I'm done, and I set up the next people who do my style. And if they ever won a fight, whatever, and had that great fight, which they did, and if they get the rematch, he could just go on Twitter, giving up the belt, and say, these guys fighting like this, I made that style. And he could be right. So instead he's trying to get back to winning a title. And I think he wants to retire on top or try to, but... It's tough to fight at 170 at 38 years old.
BKB dropping more, don't I? He dropped a $2 over on Sportscaster.
Yeah, I mean, he is fighting a similar style to guys 7 years younger than him. Leon Edwards, too. Very similar. So I think he built a style and could have left and let these guys take over and said that was my style. I would have beat him instead of getting potentially beat by them. So... No.
Absolutely, man. I agree with you. Hold on, give me one second.
But I do feel bad. His title run was rough. He was the guy after GSP. That's what people know him as. Right? I mean, there were champions and stuff, but he was the first, like, guy to defend it for 34 to 30, and I think he defended it. And he didn't have great performances. Well, he did. He won, but he fought guys that were... necessary to fight that way, like Thompson,
yeah,
and Maya. So guys that you could not put on a great fight against were guys he was fighting, and he did win. But his title run will be forgotten because I think he was just post GSP, and I think that whole division's waiting for a new GSP. So And that's not going to happen probably ever
that's
again.
That's never happening anytime soon.
It's like the next middleweight champ. They did really well finding Izzy to replace Silva.
Yeah.
It was perfect. So there's ways around this that we have to think, can we get a guy to make the division interesting again? Because whenever people say, oh, this is a great fighter, we like him, how would he do against GSP? Well, probably win because GSP is 38 years old too. But he was in the shadow of GSP for so long. I just feel like Woodley's four-year run as champ might not end well. He might go out losing two in a row. He might go out Rashad Evans style at this rate. I hope not. I hope he retires on what he has left financially, but I think he spent all his money. Woodley. He was hanging out with the TMZ guys. He had like 15 sports cars and mansions and stuff. He was living way above his means when he was champion, and he's paying it all off now. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that. Woodley definitely blew through his life savings two times over, because he got a big head. That's probably why he's taking these fights now.
Yeah, I wish he walked out on top. I really do, and I wish he got. But I think he might fight super long like Rashad Evans did. It'll end badly for him. But it's great to be a UFC champion. It would not be fun to be the first guy to hold that title for multiple years after GSP. It's one of those things you just can't overdo. It's just going to be – he's the guy after GSP.
We do have some time remaining in the show. Is there any other fights on this card that we really need to be aware of?
So if you're looking at the contender guys, which is the first seven fights, and Shevchenko's sister, who's in her second UFC fight – against Caitlin Kachagan. I would say take whatever side you like in that fight by finish. Because either these contender guys are fighting guys that are going to be winnable fights and they can sleep them, finish the fight, or they get absolutely demolished early. Take a shot and they get finished in the second round after they're totally tanked. So look for a lot of finishes this one, because a lot of these guys don't have their tanks figured out yet and when to go and when to sit back. I think this will be a card to see what fighters are going to starch their opponent and work their way up into the rankings, or eventually show they are regional guys who don't belong.
Nothing wrong with being from the regional scene, first off.
No, but if you're going 0-2 in the UFC and you gas twice and you get a Dana White Contender Series contract, especially now with Zuffa losing so much money, they might pull the trigger pretty quick on you. This is not a time to lose two in a row. And there's nothing wrong with being a regional fighter, but the UFC has a pretty quick trigger with this.
Yeah, I'm probably inclined to take Shevchenko in her bout.
You think she's gonna lose to both Shevchenko sisters? that'd be funny. She's from a PA like 40 minutes from here. So no, I kind of don't dislike Caitlin, but yeah, she is a fighter that probably was rushed to that title shot, and I think she's going to fall pretty quick if she loses, because she's losing to a woman that only has one UFC fight. So that's going to be tough on her.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see you. I think that they set this one up to where Shevchenko can go in there and think, just end this really quick, you know?
Maybe. I can't say she doesn't get finished often, but she got finished by Shevchenko bad. But usually she stays in the fight, and it's a decision. But again, there's no shame in getting knocked out by Valentina Shevchenko.
No, not at all. The woman's
stopped.
A fucking warrior.
The fight got stopped, but it was going in a bad direction.
That woman's a freaking warrior. Antonio Shevchenko, she's going to be leading off the prelim card heading into the main event. I think that's a fight that everyone should be tuned into. We're going to have you guys covered. We're going to have you guys covered come Saturday evening with all of these guys.
And yes, depressed Steelers fan. I think Robbie and I talked about that. There is not a fighter in the UFC that we think can beat Amanda.
And they haven't found her yet.
It's not Spencer. I don't think this generation will find one. A woman that could beat Nunez, I don't think will be signed in the UFC the next 4 years. And I think she'll retire by then. I think
Nunez will already be done.
Well, her wife's pregnant. Mm-hmm. They're raising a family, so I don't think she wants to fight much longer. So.
Absolutely. Yo. Today's show was fucking on fire, bro. Definitely fucking on fire. I loved every minute of filming today's episode. We did damn good. Tell people where they can find you, bro. Talk to the folks.
Rum Boys Combat on Twitter. Rum Boys Fantasy Network.com and Sportscaster.
Hell yeah.
And I have an article about the Amanda Nunes fight and who could stop her, if there's any skill set that could potentially stop her now, if she's on her B game. But basically, what it's going to take this generation to stop her, besides an injury. And it's not going to be too much. But I think there's a couple fighters that could do something.
Hell yeah. I look forward to that.
It might have been in our past conversation about a fighter's sister on the card, but again, I think it kind of gave away the name, but...
Yeah, it definitely did.
But there's a way she could do it that she hasn't done yet.
Yeah, you leaked that motherfucker for sure. Spoiler alert right there.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys get up with Jake over there on runboys.com. He's holding down the Rum Boys Combat Division, so he'll be having some more articles for you guys. Really read those articles, especially when you're looking at insight. Placing a UFC or a boxing prop or a bet, that's a different style of operating than when you're placing a NBA or a NFL type of prop or bet. So read his stuff.
Props in UFC, try to avoid picking fights.
Yes.
Do as many. How many rounds will the rounds will the fights average? Fights will be finished by decision on average, like maybe third. There's ones that are it'll go this long. It'll go 7.5 minutes per fight. They're gonna finish in the second round. Do those, because if you're gonna pick MMA math in the matchups, one fight goes against you. One girl gets caught, you never expect, she's knocked out, everything's thrown off. So you want to keep your bets as live as possible, and don't let them get killed off by one decision loss that could go either way. Try to avoid picking the fights, as somebody who likes watching and picking fights. But do as many situational things of like finishes, submissions, knockouts, decisions, as you can. Just don't let your picks die because one fight goes against you.
I think, don't you have a piece up there about that? About how to place, how to set your shit up?
Yeah.
Well,
basically, I have it about, the XFL and NFL, but always do live bets. Don't have one game ruin your bets. Try to do as many situational things as you can.
Guys, because I'm telling you, get
up. Oh, that's betting in real life, too. That's everything you're doing in sports. Don't put it all on a game. Even if you're winning, just find situational bets that you can keep going throughout the day and see if you can cover. Because if you're losing a bet and you see, okay, my matchup's not going my way, you can cover your bet. Don't have one where it's like, I have Amanda Nunes, I have this person winning on this card, and you're three fights in and you're over. You're done. Because that girl you thought was going to win by decision lost in the first round by knockout.
Yup.
So, just avoid going all in on three fights, because it can turn out pretty bad for you if you do two of those and you have the one girl or guy you think that's going to win. And if they lose, you're out on two.
Yeah. Hey,
I always do that too. When in prop bets, or like if I do teasers, I always have one fight I think I really like. And I've had times where I was right in the four fights I picked outside of that. But the one I picked on both teasers lost. And I'm like, what the fuck? Really? Like, if I would have just switched this up, I would have been even. But yeah. Again, don't do that either. Try to have three different fights on each. Because you do not want to have that one fight screw you over on all your teaser bets.
Absolutely. Hey, that's why you guys need to get up with this man on runboys.com. All of our guys have great insights for you on any and everything that you're out there playing. Whether, you know, you're picking fights straight up or you're picking a game straight up. Whether it's props. Whether it's daily fantasy sports. Whether it's, you know, redraft dynasty sports. You know, you let us know what you need help with. And we will take a scalpel to it. We'll tell you, do this. And we're going to help you. And at the end of the day, we're all going to be happy because, you know, more likely those are the same odds that we're playing. Well, likely because it's our information that we're putting the fuck out there. But other than that, with that said, catch me on all social medias at Runboy, spelled as Z-N-E-T. That is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, you name it. I'm all over the goddamn place. Also, hit me up on runboys.com. Comment on our articles on runboys.com. Connor Burke just dropped a fire piece for you guys. This week is going to be a loaded week on runboys.com. I know that we already got two in the hole for you guys right now. So be on the lookout for some more articles coming out this week. The writing staff is getting to it. Miles is running the fuck up. He's running the crew over there real well. So big shouts to Fantasy Football Peacock Miles. The final season of the Icon Show is going to be live tonight. So make sure you guys head over to Jim of the Icon over on his YouTube channel. He's going to be wrapping up season one of his channel. Shout out to GMM Network. He's got a bunch of content popping off for you guys. He's been featuring a lot of the Run Boys and stuff. Check out all of his stuff if you haven't subscribed to him already. And me and Justin are working on some mock drafts for you guys, getting you all set up for the fantasy football season over there at Clock Management Fantasy Football. So give the crew some love. Say what's up. Treat's about to start dropping some hockey stuff as well. I got to get Treat hooked, suited and booted over on runboys.com. But, yo, we are out here. We are fully running. We are fully functioning. Sports are going to be back live and well. The sports that we've all been waiting for and love. And that's how the fuck it's going down. Jake, any final words?
No, man.
Hey, yo, cheers to me.
You gotta go back to work. We're gonna have a lot of fun.
All the Run Boys and Girls, what to do. Dilly Dilly. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. We out.